Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
This is Overreaction Monday. You do not have a take that is too overreactionary. How you're feeling right now is what you bring to the table today. There is no such thing as an overreaction today at all, because it's how you're feeling about your team right now as we open up the phone lines. And Bart, as we watched Division Round Weekend,
yeah,
and we went through all the games, you and I were just talking about it a few minutes ago. We both kind of have this same feeling, as we'll break down all the games and everything else, and of course eulogize the Giants season, but we have this feeling about quarterbacks that, to me, it's like we get lost sometime in the conversation about what's the difference between really good and great. And I think we put a lot of really good into the great category, and then this time of year comes around when you make your fame, as you always say, you make your name in the regular season, you make your fame in the playoffs. We're learning that we overrate some guys, and that shows when the light shines brightest.
No, absolutely. And Exhibit A is Dak Prescott.
Yep.
Right? And you can say to a certain extent Daniel Jones, right? I feel like a lot of truth serum was spilt this week.
Mm-hmm.
And too often we put guys in a category that they don't belong in. And we do it in all sports, right? We put Jimmy Butler maybe in the same category as LeBron James or Kevin Durant, right? It is only a few systemless quarterbacks in this league. When I say systemless, I mean – things around him don't have to be well. Did anybody realize or did anybody mention that Joe Burrow didn't have three of his starting linemen?
Well, that right? got mentioned several times during the game.
Right.
But nobody said it going into the game.
Right, but everybody makes an excuse for Dak Prescott about, okay, well, look at all the weapons that Brock Purdy has. You talk about Dak Prescott couldn't beat Brock Purdy. It came down to a quarterback duel. It was a defensive duel, and it needed somebody to make a play. And unfortunately, it wasn't Dak Prescott who, once again, had two turnovers, right? So too often we put these guys in this superstar stratosphere because of the end result, because he always wins a bunch of games. But you can win a bunch of games because the league is heavily flawed. We only know who's the superstar when the superstars go against other good teams, and they're only going to get that test once, twice, at most three times during the year. Right? When you look at Patrick Mahomes on one leg, carry his team past a not a formidable foe, but against a team that, when you talk about a quarterback with one leg, should have been able to take Patrick Mahomes away. All they had to do was stop Travis Kelce, but he kept finding ways to do it. Mm-hmm. So you talk about all these guys that we put into this superstar stratosphere, it is a couple of ways to win in this league. You either win with a young quarterback, and you have a bunch of supporting cast superstars around him. And you see that happen in Philadelphia. Philadelphia was able to go out because they realized they couldn't stop the run. They were able to go out and get Linville Joseph. They were able to make a trade for Smith. Not Smith. Is that his name? The DN from Chicago that they made the trade for. I forget. Yeah, Robert Quinn.
They were
able to go out and get Ndamukong Suh. Why? Because they had money saved over in the bank. They had some money in their savings account because Jalen Hurts is cheap, right? Or you see a team that says, okay, we're going to spend a bunch of money on our quarterback, Exhibit A, the Kansas City Chiefs, and now our quarterback has to be better than those two players that we lost. He has to be able to elevate. You saw Daniel Jones couldn't elevate. You saw Dak Prescott couldn't elevate. And I put an incomplete on Josh Allen because we know Josh Allen is better than that, but he just went against a superior quarterback on the other end. So when you talk about, you know, how do the Giants or the Jets go forward in building their football team, one, they have to recognize that they can't pay Daniel Jones too much because he's not a superstar. He's on a tier from that third tier to maybe he can be a superstar with a star with the right pieces around him. Meaning that they have to elevate the talent on the offensive side of the ball to make him look better than what he is. Exhibit B, Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy is a Mr. Irrelevant, but he's made to look better because he has the most depth of talent around him. So when we go in this offseason, let's not mistake Daniel Jones for who he is. And they have to have that real conversation with Daniel Jones about who he is. The reason why you know, and be careful, because I believe now people are going to say, oh, man, look at Jalen Hurts. Look at Jalen Hurts. Give him the bag. He's the most complete quarterback. He's a dual-threat quarterback. He's a franchise quarterback. He's a tremendous leader. No, he's Dak Prescott. But if you don't believe that, you're going to go out and give this dude an enormous amount of money, and it's going to take a couple of years when you start seeing some of the stars that you lose and the depth that you lose, and you're going to find yourself in the same place that you find the Dallas Cowboys. So Jets and Giants, cautionary tale. Pay attention and be real with yourself. You can lie to us. Don't lie to yourself.
Mm-hmm. And again, in Kansas City, they've had to make tough choices.
Tyreek Hill.
And that's one of them. But because you have a great quarterback who is great. The force multiplier, you love to say all the time, when you know you have that piece, and of course the head coach too, which is the brain of the operation along with the quarterback, the two of them, right? They are the masterminds of this offense. And then, of course, you need to have a defense. But if you can get through where, all right, we can lose a couple of talents because of finances, then you can sustain the success. Buffalo's got to figure that out now too, right?
They're in trouble.
They're going to have to figure that out now going forward. There's no doubt about it. And there's some drama going on up there as well that we'll get into at the end of that game. Something to keep an eye on. But that's the threat. And that's why I think, again, the Cowboys are in a very interesting place, and one very familiar if you're a Jets fan. If you were watching the Cowboys yesterday and you're a Jets fan like myself, you're looking at that team and you're watching that defense and how hard that defense played. And how that score, like, that was not a pretty game. That was an ugly game.
Yeah.
That was not a game filled with amazing highlights. That was a game where George Kittle made a catch of the season. And aside from that, the rest of it was.
He got separated by a soul, by the way. Back in the day, he would have got carried off.
Well, Diggs just missed him.
Yeah, he closed his eyes because these dudes ain't used to knocking nobody out.
Yeah. But I'm watching it. And you know what I'm saying? I've seen this game because – I'm a Jets fan. That is a great defense and a quarterback that is substandard. A quarterback that wasn't playing at a level you need to play at that point of a season to carry on.
Can't consistently do it.
It's not like that defense got outclassed. It's not like that defense was any worse than the Niners defense. It was your quarterback that was not good enough. And on the very first interception, you said to yourself, here we go. Here we go. So if you're the Jets, that's what you look like, but the one thing you don't have is that big-ass contract that Dak has right now.
Yeah.
You don't have that now, but don't. That's when you say cautionary tale? That's what I said. I was like, man, they get the wrong guy? This is what they'll be. And Derek you don't want to be in that purgatory.
Insert Derek Carr. Oof. But the only good thing is all their weapons. This is where the Jets is slightly different. The Jets are slightly different because they have such young players that you won't have to pay them that money. That's why it's important that you try and continue to develop Zach Wilson, because he still buys you a couple of years to front load the contracts that's going to be given out to some of their young talent.
Mm-hmm.
See, because if you sign Derek Carr to a long deal that's crazy, you find yourself in the same spot. Not in the next 2 years. That gives you an open window.
Yep.
But the third year and the fourth year, you better be getting out of that contract, because it's going to handicap you, because you're going to have to pay Garrett Wilson top receiver money. You're going to have to pay Breece Hall money. You're going to have to pay Sauce top. He's all pro year one. So you're going to have to see him in three years.
In time. That's right. And so you don't want to get to that point, right? Because they had Dak on a cheap contract, and they weren't able to get anything done at that point either.
That's why you have to win
in
those windows.
So now they pay him, and now you're kind of stuck in that situation as well. But on the Giants side of things, Joe Shane's talking this morning to the media. We'll get you what we can from that, and we'll play it back for you a little bit later on in the show. But to me, Bart, I look at the Giants, and I ask this question.
Scary.
They got blown out. Like you heard what Brian Daboll. Brian Daboll looked crushed after that game. He called it a crash landing. He felt like this was like as well as they've played, that was to him a reality check.
The difference in talent.
That's what I'm saying. So my question about the Giants, and this is Joe Shane's challenge, can you close the gap? Like, are they just that much better than you? Because that's two games now in the three that you got swept this year by them.
I mean,
two games where they didn't just beat you.
They're in a different class. They're in a different class.
They beat the brakes off you. How do you close that gap by next year?
It's tough.
And also, you got to keep guys. You got to make the right decisions. So is it really the best idea to bring everybody back?
No. You have to clean house a little bit.
So someone –
Yeah,
I'm talking about your big three: Dexter Lawrence, Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley. I don't think you can do all three because you'll kind of be the same team you were this year, and that's not good enough.
Somebody has to step up. Somebody has to be somebody has to graduate from the junior varsity, and you have to let a guy go, like Leonard Williams. He got to go. You can't have $40 million tied up in defensive tackles. Mm-hmm. You just don't win.
He already
that way.
Hinted that he might take less because he likes playing there with Dex.
Yeah, he's going to have to take a hell of a lot less.
A hell of a lot less.
Right? He's got his money. He's got his money for the first 2 years. He's going to have to, figure some things out. But then also, you can't pay Dax. You can't pay Dexter. You can't pay Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, and go out and get you a top-notch receiver.
Wide receiver, which is I think, priority
because
one.
Because they're stuck with Kenny Galladay for another year. So it's nothing that they can do. So this is where drafting comes in. Because you have to be able to replace some of these guys with young, great talent. Mm-hmm. And that's the issue, right? When you look at what's been the key for Philadelphia, it's the drafting. When you look at San Francisco, it's been the drafting.
True.
Not the quarterback position, of the other positions.
Yep.
Kinlaw,
mm-hmm.
Fred Warner. Like, you got it. Ward.
Way, Fred Warner was unbelievable
right.
yesterday.
Ward, right? You have to be able to draft some of these guys. Because that's why the Jets fans should feel happy. Because they've had such a great draft that you can't sign everybody from your draft class. You got to let someone walk away, mm-hmm. but you got to decide what position is more important. You got to let Carl Lawson go. You got to let a guy like Corey Davis go. Because now you got to graduate some people. You got to take advantage that Elijah Moore is cheap. You got to take advantage that, hey, well, maybe Denzel Mims isn't Corey Davis, but he's not that far off. But the difference in price of who we can go get, we can have Mims. You got to ask yourself, do you keep Mims or do you keep Corey Davis?
No, the point is you have to rob Peter to pay Paul.
Exactly.
That's what you have to do.
That's what I love about the NFL. And that's why you have teams with these windows. That's why if Joe Burrow don't win within this window, because they're going to give him an extension or make him an offer because they know where this thing is going. They want to try and get that window and get that extension to Joe Burrow before Lamar Jackson makes it stupid.
Yeah.
Then they got to go above that because he's going to say, yeah, I know I'm not an MVP, but I'm potentially taking you to two Super Bowls in a row.
And would you bet against him not winning this game? I mean, you can't bet against him. I mean, this is back-to-back now championship games and another chance to
compromise.
And they've already done what they have to do. They've already won there. They've already done it. So he could do it again and get to the Super Bowl.
But this is why it's important, though.
Right. Oh, I'm with you on that. All right.
Because Chase is right around the window.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're going to lose T. Higgins because they can't pay Higgins because right behind Higgins is Chase.
And Higgins is so good. He knows he's a number one.
Right.
And so somebody's going to pay him to be a number
one. So Higgins is going to be gone. So then it's going to be harder for Cincinnati to win. That's why when you have these little windows, these 1 or 2 year windows, you got to capitalize.
That's
right?
The window thing. That's the funny thing because that's the conversation going on up in Buffalo right now. All right, I tell you what, Bart, because we got a lot of time to get into each one of these games and the matchups and certainly then looking ahead to Championship Sunday, which is going to be – I mean, these are really good games setting up, and there's a lot of drama throughout all of them. But, of course, our focus right now is the end of a Giants season that was a pleasant surprise that ended in such a disappointment that it's – the day after Sunday, when you're Sunday, it's just like getting over it and now moving forward, saying, okay, to accentuate the positives and move forward. So it's Overreaction Monday, your overreactions on the Giants and what they need to do to close the gap because it just looks like it is wide between them and the Philadelphia Eagles, beyond anybody else, of course, in the NFC. 800-919-3776. Let's grab some calls, Bart. It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, 98.7. ESPN. Let's start in Wyandanch, out on the island. We talked to Robert. Robert.
How we doing?
All right.
Hi. Look, all I know is I'm a Giants fan. Been one since Lawrence Taylor. That defense was slow as heck, man. I mean, number five was all right, but he wasn't a quarterback killer like they pulled the draft him to be. We need some dang guys coming in on the end and putting real pressure and hitting that quarterback. on offense. We do need a wide receiver, like you said, work on that line, and maybe a fullback. I don't know. What do you guys think?
That's a big grocery list right there.
But that Eagles offensive line will make anybody look slow. I mean, you're running into a brick wall.
And you have to understand, like, you don't become a dominant pass rusher year one, year two, right? Like,
the special ones do.
Well, not even the special. Terrell Suggs just had a good season his first year. It wasn't great. James Harris didn't have a great start to his season. Like, a lot of guys have to learn how to adjust. Quentin Williams didn't become Quentin Williams until this year.
Well, it took him a couple of years, too. I thought Thibodeau's had a good season.
Solid.
He had a good season. He showed you flashes. Yeah. He showed you flashes that he could be
Ojulari, right? He's a guy that, you know, because his medicals were bad, right? They got to be able to figure out how they're going to get the secondary solid, right, and what they're going to do there. The problem is they have to pay people. When you have to pay for your talent and you don't have anybody on discount, it's a problem.
Do you also think, Bart, when the offense is just not getting – then they couldn't do anything. I mean, nothing. Barkley was non-existent. They couldn't do anything, and that put that the Eagles just kept getting back on the field, and that defense had no chance.
They're going against an all-star team on defense, man.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Listen,
it's a great defense.
Let me remind people, okay, of the Jet team I was on, okay? And you talk about trying to buy a championship because you can't draft well. Okay. I came in as a free agent, highest paid linebacker in the league. I was a Pro Bowler before I got here. I was All Pro before I got here. They had Trevor Price. Trevor Price was a Pro Bowler, All Pro when he got here. Chris Jenkins, they had to pay for All Pro, Pro Bowler when he got here. Calvin Pace was a high value free agent, right? Lito Shepard, high value free agent. The only people that they had here that they didn't buy was Darrell Revis and David Harris. That's why it didn't last that long.
Yeah.
Let's go on the other side. Okay, you had your homegrowns. Brandon Moore. You had Nick Mangold. And you had the Brickershaw Ferguson. They went out and paid high money for Damon Woody.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought Alan Faneca, who at that point was a five-time Pro Bowler.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. They had just paid Kerry Rose. That is a high ticket. That is a lot of money to pay. Then they went out and made a trade for a young player that was disgruntled in Braylon Edwards. Then they made the same thing and caught him just with 1 year left on their contract because those teams that they were on realized that they weren't going to be able to re-sign him, and they brought in Santonio Holmes. That's a lot of damn money.
Mm-hmm.
And they only bought a year or two. You can't win that way. And what Dave Gettleman did.
You can. You just got to do it quick.
Right. And
like,
the only reason we can do that is because Mark Sanchez was cheap.
Like that's, to me, the Rams. How the Rams won their Super Bowl.
And it was
a hit it and quit it. You got to hit right away.
It was
right
a one-night stand. It was a one-night stand.
You know it's going to hurt. Right. That's what that is. You just got to know it's got
to
work. If it doesn't, it costs you time.
So they knew that I was there just for a short time. So that's what I tried to draft DeMario Davis, who didn't become DeMario Davis until he got cut from the Ravens, the Jets. He went from the Jets to the Cleveland, back to the Jets, and he didn't become who he was until he went to the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't develop him fast enough, right? So that's the issue. So when you look at really, like, what I say is the Giants are going to have to probably take a step back before they take a step forward, and they're going to have to start developing people within their program. Not because Daboll, it's because Shane is going to have to do a great job with the cap and realizing who stays and who we can walk away from, because we can either replace them in the draft or we can be smart and get good players like the guy McKenzie that's in there for Buffalo. Can Daboll bring a guy like that over? That's an integral piece, but it's not an expensive piece, because Dave Gettleman did a horrible job and paying everybody because he tried to pay to make up for his mistakes. So he went out and got Bradbury. He traded for Dory Jackson. He traded for Peppers, right? He went out and he bought the linebacker that he paid a bunch of money from
Blake Martinez?
Yeah, from Green Bay, right? And then he just couldn't keep up with it because he was trying to outspend his lack of developing the talent that he drafted. Saquon couldn't stay healthy. He made the trade for Leonard Williams and then paid him the highest paid in the inside. So the Giants still have bad contracts because they haven't done a great job in drafting people. Ojulari is the only person that they drafted that they can say, okay, well, we got him in the second round. He was a first-round talent, and he's starting for us.
Now, so Brian Daboll, again, he and Joe Shane came as a package deal, and they come into this thing – And Brian Daboll did his job. He took what he had and turned it into a competitive team that won a playoff game and got as far as a divisional round. Now it's up to Joe Shane. He's got to take it from here. And this is one thing when this city, especially with this fan base, is now in love with this team again. And it's been a while since, as a Giants fan, you could be in love with this team and feel confident in the leadership that they have. Is now Joe Shane's got to take it a step. He's got to figure out how he takes what he's got right now.
Yep.
Go into this offseason knowing I've got a quarterback I got to figure out, and we expect they're going to sign him. You got a running back that's got to get paid, or you go move on. You've got a dominant defensive interior defensive lineman that needs to be paid as well. And then there's the rest of it.
Yeah.
You have a draft and everything else to take this team so that next year is not that step back.
Sterling Shepard got to go.
He's a step forward.
Guys like that got to graduate.
There's a lot of optimism. But there's a lot of pressure right now, because if you say, well, it happened so fast, maybe it's too much too soon, they weren't supposed to be this good, don't matter. You're there now. You've got to take that next step. Let's continue with the calls and overreaction Monday. We go to Scott in Manhattan. What's up, Scott?
Yo, guys, I must say, man, you guys are on your game this morning, because everything you're saying is like to the 10th power. But I just want to say what I watched this weekend. Like Bart said, Daniel Jones got a dose of reality. The Eagles opened eyes that were wide shut. Josh Allen, disappointing, but they ran against a juggernaut, you know, with the Bengals. And Dak Prescott, failure. How could you let a second-string quarterback beat you? So, some of the games weren't that even interesting to me. Yeah, exactly. But, like I said, everything you guys are saying is spot on. And like I said, I'm happy with the Giants. I'm a Giant fan. They got as far as they could, but, you know, they ran up against the Eagles, and that's what counts.
You're playing the best team. That's what it was, Scott. You played the best team.
Scott, here it is. No relation. But, you know, when you look at it, like, that credit card bill is still due. That's the problem.
Yep.
Sterling Shepard got to go. Evan Neal has to take a gigantic leap to become he got to become the most dominant right tackle in the game.
And he could, because Andrew Thomas made that step, and if they continue to develop properly, he should be able to as well. He was a highly talented tackle coming out of the draft. He played at a big-time program. There's no reason to think he can't. Yeah. And that'll give you your two blocks of granite that you need on the outside, on both sides of the line, that can sit, that, you know, again, that at least it's your part of your foundation, and you did that through the draft.
And you go try and figure out in free agency or what you can do to solidify the inside, interior part of that line as best you can. But here's the problem for the Giants. Leonard Williams, Kenny Galladay, Adoree Jackson are their highest paid three players.
Correct.
So.
Yeah. That's true.
You got to graduate. And it's a problem. They can't graduate Adoree Jackson because you got to have at least one lockdown corner.
Yeah, you got to have some good players back there.
Lost Bradbury because of that. Julian Love, you have to ask yourself, does he stay? Does he graduate? You can't have all-stars at every position. And that's the problem when you don't draft well. And the reason why Philadelphia will keep their window open is because they have their second-round quarterback as their starter.
Yep. That is saving them right now a ton of money, but it won't last for long.
And the problem is, okay, let's just say, okay, well, they're going to have to pay a pass rusher. Not really. They got two first-round draft picks. They can go out and they can get fresh. That's why, like, all those little clever moves, sometimes moving back because your guy isn't there and you know you can get somebody just as good in that round. You move back and you get future picks because you know that credit card bill is always lurking.
Yeah, and those picks at least help you supplement your roster. And if you make those picks the right way, it can help you get through it once again. And if you have a star at quarterback, that also helps you get through it as well.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
We've got calls to get to, Bart Scott, because it is Overreaction Monday. So let's continue. We go to Bobby in Jersey. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
What's happening?
Not much. Listen, a lifelong Giant fan, born and raised, had no choice growing up. You know, after this weekend, like you guys said in the past about the house money, I totally agree with that. The only thing that I'm a little concerned about is the fans are now jumping off the DJ bandwagon.
Really?
The guy's a good quarterback. The guy needs help. I mean, this past weekend, what do you want him to do? I mean, if you want to say anything, let's talk about the interior D-line. I mean, they couldn't stop anybody. So there's so many different variables in the game. And the previous caller about the dose of reality, again, give him someone to play with, and then let's see the reality.
You know, I can't believe, Bobby, are you telling me that Giants fans, and I got to be honest with you, I was busy yesterday. I didn't listen to a lot of sports talk. I didn't hear a lot of callers. Are Giants fans suddenly changing their tune about Daniel Jones? Is that really happening?
You know what? It's funny. Yes. Social media, go on Facebook, all those, you know, those Giants sites and all that. Guys are going, people are saying that, but people are just saying that I see, I told you wasn't that good. It's just like he was,
who
you know,
are you
the last
getting?
Couple years, a few years.
Who are you getting then? Who are you getting that would be better than him? And like, and realistically, who could you get with obviously the cap situation they're in? What would you get? Who are you getting? You
can't say Derek Carr is better than him. You can't say Jimmy G is better than him, and not in this system, in this offense.
It's going to cost you.
I mean, listen, this is the reality, man.
Thank you, Bobby. I can't believe that. Bart, didn't we ask that question too? Can anything happen against the Eagles that'll change your mind? All the calls. Nope, I'm sold. Nope, that's my guy. Are you seriously turning on him already? Like, that's what we're doing right now.
Okay, can I show people real quick what GMing at a masterclass is?
Go ahead.
All right, if I go to the Philadelphia roster, Darius Slay is the biggest cap hit that they got, right? $26 mm-hmm. million, dollars, right? Base salary, 17. He's making $20 million an hour.
Right.
Lane Johnson, right? Two All-Pros right there. Javon Hargrave, D-tackle, right? He's making I don't even know what the hell he's making. They don't even got his base salary. They just got him a signing bonus, but he's the third highest, right? He has $11 million cap hit. Mm-hmm. Jason Kelsey, right? Right there, number four. Brandon Graham, right, who may not be the player that he used to be, but he got 11 sacks this year, right? So he's still productive. A.J. Brown, right? A.J. Brown is like six.
Critical addition.
Right, but he's like six.
Yeah.
Right? And then
not even the highest paid.
Jordan Mailata, right? Because the way that you structure the contract, the way to balance the books. See, it's ways to operate over the cap without going over the cap. It's just funny. It's funny accounting, right? It's like – pushing people money in different places so mm-hmm. that it doesn't count and you give yourself space. But I just went there and told you they're top like eight people. Four of those people are all pros.
That's how it's supposed to be. That
when you spend your money, you got to get productivity.
Yes.
Right? And here's the thing, right? You look at Hargrave. Hargrave is a good interior lineman. They've already drafted his replacement.
Yep.
Jordan Davis is his replacement. He's a cheaper version. And guess what? They have two first-round draft picks. That's why draft picks count. That's why it matters, right? Now, if we go back and we do the same damn thing for your New York Giants, you know who the highest paid player is on you guys? Leonard Williams. What'd you get from Leonard Williams this year? Did you get all pro caliber play?
Mm-mm.
You'd probably say not. Guess who your number two player is that you're spending all your cheese on your taco on? Kenny Galladay.
Yeah, that hurts.
You smell me?
That's a disappointment. Yeah, it doesn't smell good either.
Mark Glowinski. Yeah, I'm just saying. Now you got your money worth from Dexter Lawrence. Dory Jackson, did you get big play Slay type of productivity, I don't know. All I know is Bradberry, who you let go,
yeah,
is a Pro Bowler.
Look, Adoree Jackson helped you win a playoff game. I'll take it.
Okay.
And he was banged up, but I'll take it. I mean, you missed him for a chunk of the season, but when he came back to play in a big game against the best wide receiver in the game, he showed up and showed out.
Okay.
So I'm all right with that.
Okay. But that's what I'm saying. The difference.
Yeah, I hear you.
The difference in GMing, right?
I hear you. And then, look, this is a
– And you got Daniel Jones, on a rookie deal too, so it's no excuse. Because
but
you
he's
got
a
the
new
same,
GM. So right. This is his now – as I said, Brian Daboll, first-time head coach, showed us he's got the chops. First-time general manager Joe Shane, what has he got? Because it's his turn now. So Beth from Hackensack won a $200 Omaha Steaks gift card. Beth, congratulations to you. Also, of course, part of Superbox Bonanza. The next opportunity for you to win and select a box and a prize as well is on the Michael K. Show. It comes up after our show, so of course you keep it locked in right here. Overreaction Monday continues, 800-919-3776 on Bart and Hahn. Let's go to Richard in Jacksonville, answering a question I asked at the very beginning of the show, is can you close the gap, the Giants, between them and the Eagles, which seems like a huge gap right now. Go ahead, Richard.
Alan, you know, you did your job. When you say stuff like that, I get upset, but then I know why you say it. You say it so knuckleheads like me will call in. Look, the 85 Giants were 2-3 touchdowns behind the 85 Bears. Then look what happened the next year. Of course they can close the gap. We all know they can close the gap. It doesn't mean they will, but just because they won 38-7, that doesn't mean that they can't close the gap. Look at what a difference Lane Johnson meant. One guy. That's like three touchdowns worth of swing in that game. One guy who most fans don't even know who the F he is, right? Mm-hmm. And he changed it, and he changed like that. Here's something interesting for you guys. You talk about the Vikings and how mediocre they were, yet they had all these great skill players, right? We really saw the difference this weekend. Teams with stars at the non-glamour positions and how big a difference that makes. Mm-hmm. Like Philadelphia doesn't just have the fantasy guys, they got the line, and that makes a huge difference.
It is. Other both sides of the ball.
One last thing, though, guys, on the Daniel Jones thing. I mean, Bart, you said, you know, he didn't elevate. You know, of course he didn't in this game, but I would not limit – I would not rule him out from being able to be a winning or Super Bowl quarterback with a more even roster. When you look at what Nick this Foles, guy did with Daniel Hudgens and all that, come on, man.
Nick Foles is a Super Bowl winning quarterback for people that don't remember. So
done.
Is Joe Flacco.
Absolutely.
But what I'm saying is he can't get the Baker Mayfield complex. Hey, I beat Pittsburgh. I deserve to be one of the highest paid guys. He needs to say, Let This money, though. This ain't, you know what I'm
saying? And he's going to make over $30 million either way.
Richard, I'll answer the question for you. No, he will not be like Baker Mayfield. Mayfield was already on commercials.
He was already
promoting himself. And Daniel Jones is not that same personality where he's after the quant. He wants to get paid because that's what quarterbacks are going to get paid, whatever the market value is. But I don't see him as somebody that's going to be
It's been other people.
Let me ask one last question. Guys, which one of them are they going to franchise? They're going to franchise one of them. They pretty much have to. Who's it going to be?
You franchise Saquon because it's the cheapest franchise tag.
Yeah, it's only 1 year.
Right. Yep.
And at the end of the day, whether you like it or not, they're going to draft Saquon's replacement just in case.
That might be it too. Richard, great call as always. Good to talk to you.
I mean, it's always a Breece Hall in there. It's always a Kenneth Walker out there. You know what I'm saying? You can get great all pro play without having to pay $15 to $20 million a year for it. You know, those are tough decisions. And this is the thing. Fans aren't going to be happy with it. And you got to say, listen, I know what I'm doing.
That's the hard part of the offseason.
I got to make the tough decisions.
He's got to make unpopular choices and decisions that he knows he'll get ripped for in the offseason.
Yeah.
But then you hope that during the regular season, it'll turn out where people will say, you know what?
Yeah.
That's why you get paid to be the GM, because you made the right choice and everybody else was being emotional. You can't be emotional right now. This is business decisions right now that really could have adverse effects if you don't make the right ones, obviously. All right, so we have more of your calls. We'll continue with them. We've got to go through another name, by the way, Bart, on the Jets offensive coordinator list. I mean, it feels like
40.
Yeah, 40? I mean, we are really now getting into double digits. It feels like, but none of the names make you go, "Oh, I'll take that." Like, none of the names inspire you, which might be the bigger concern. But this name we'll let you know about because it comes from another familiar place. We also have to talk about the Knicks. They look tired. They're losing. They got a problem, and there's a trade deadline coming up. How did we fix that?
By Randall.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Trade season's starting to now really percolate. And the Lakers, who are desperate to do anything to try to upgrade their roster, according to Woj, they're in final stages of completing a deal with the Wizards. They're sending
Kyle Kuzma? They're bringing Kuzma back home?
No. They're sending 3 second-round picks and Kendrick Nunn to the Wizards. So 3 of their 7. They have 7, by the way, second-round picks this year. And they're getting Rui Hachimura. He's a lottery pick. They didn't give him an extension off his rookie deal. And so he was going to be a restricted free agent.
So to
speak. Yeah, okay. Restricted free agent anyway. So, yeah, Rui Hachimura.
So how does that help the Lakers?
He just gives them another wing. They need some people on the wing. I don't think he's a really good defender. I think he can score a little bit. He's got a big body, but I don't know. This is one I don't know. So we'll move on from it. But just thought I'd throw it out there for the basketball people.
Meanwhile, land for Brick.
The Brick, right. Let's just make a trade for him. So Rich Cimini over the weekend letting us know that now the Jets' search for an offensive coordinator continues. And yesterday, the Jets interviewed Clint Kubiak. So he's the son, of course, of Gary Kubiak.
Didn't he just get fired?
And he was, remember, the quarterback's coach and passing game coordinator with the Broncos under Nathaniel Hackett.
Oh, great.
Who they had already interviewed.
Oh, great. Yeah, that ought to get him. Yeah.
And he called plays for a couple of games when he was working with Hackett, but things did not go well there. Mm. Now, remember also, that was is Clint. Clint was the OC with no Gary was now Gary was a, was an OC recently, right?
Yeah, you talking about his son?
Yeah, no.
He was the offense coordinator for. Minnesota. He got fired there twice.
Oh, okay.
So he's been fired twice.
So it was Clint who was with Minnesota? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really bold on that one. Yeah, I like that one.
I told you these aren't.
Somebody that's got fired twice.
These aren't inspiring. And even Smitty said if some people are wondering if like maybe you'll get like a little father son thing, maybe you'll get Gary Kubiak, the experienced one.
He retired 2 years ago because of health issues.
Yeah, all set. Right, exactly. So that's not going to happen. So, these are not really inspiring.
And the crazy thing is, now you see the Ravens out there. So, you got to ask yourself, who would you rather go to, the Ravens organization with Lamar Jackson or the Jets? So, now,
Yeah. You don't have a quarterback. Who the hell wants the job if you don't have a quarterback?
And you know Harbaugh ain't going nowhere. Saleh ain't on a hot seat, but the seat always gets hot fast.
You always worry, right? That's the problem.
Right.
So you just don't, yeah. So that's where it is right now. In the meantime, Bart, let's grab more calls. Jose is in Brooklyn. Go ahead, Jose.
Oh, why you play my boy like that?
What do you mean?
How you doing, Alan? How's it going, Bart?
All right, Jose. We're talking Jets. Let him talk Jets.
Yeah. I wanted to talk Jets because the Jets are definitely been kind of a headacheful, off season with this offensive coordinator search. And I'm now that you mentioned Clint Kubiak, I'm just like, wow, another first. What we're looking at is possibly another first timer. So, so it kind of it epitomizes of just we can kick and scream, but sometimes getting rid of somebody and we're not going to find a better replacement, in that sense. Hopefully we do. But I'm hoping we can get a better quarterback situation here, and I know that you mentioned Bart of possible cuts that you mentioned Corey Davis and
Carl Lawson,
and I think that those are kind of players that I were hinting towards with my friends, and I wanted to know who else could you possibly see them possibly getting, because if the Giants, do you see the Jets possibly, you know, rekindling their relationship with Leonard Williams if the Giants
hell
come.
Hell,
nah. I think they're good there, Jose.
They need a fat dude. I like them maybe going after Dalvin Tomlinson from Minnesota. Right, I'd rather bring him back. I need a big fat dude next to Leonard Williams. Mm-hmm. I mean, next to Quentin Williams, so that he can get busy and somebody that's going to eat up a space eater. They didn't have any big dads. Solomon Thomas in there, sitting up there in the center at like 280 pounds, getting thrown off the club. They need a fat boy. They need a snacks. They need a Chris Jenkins. They need a fat boy like that. They need a Hargrave.
Yeah, you wanted them to find like you wanted them to find somebody like that in the draft. I remember you loved Jordan Davis before the draft. They just never got to that point.
Yeah.
All right, you wanted him, you get him, because it's all the smoke. Troy, calling from Philly. Go ahead, Troy.
Hey, Barton Hahn, I need y'all to repeat after me. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
Great, you can spell, Troy. Congratulations.
Hey. Y'all talking a lot of smack Friday, man.
Oh, bro, don't say me. Say the Giants. I knew what time it was.
I don't remember any of that.
Y'all was saying is y'all had Jones on the Eagles. If we had Jones on the Eagles, he'll be the same. I still believe that.
This
is New York City. It's a Giants hometown.
Are you sick?
No. I still believe that. Listen, let's not take Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Let's not take Jalen Hurts and make him a superstar. That was the open of the show.
Yeah.
Right? Some guys are great.
Man, don't listen, Troy, you're gonna break your own heart. Don't do it. He is good. He is not that good. He's good.
He's Dak Prescott. He's Dak Prescott, right?
He is good.
Second tier.
He is second tier.
Listen, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes.
Redraft, like, exactly. If you power rank the quarterbacks available right now in the playoffs, he is the last guy. I mean, Brock Purdy's the last guy you're taking, obviously, but he's not ahead of the other two guys.
He's a product of his environment. And what he is he's in a pretty good environment because he has the best general manager in all the sports.
It's a great team around him. Nothing wrong with that. Not wrong with that, Troy. Troy, be very careful, though, because this is the stuff we were talking about. You overrate people. He is right where he needs to be. He is good, really good.
He's right where he needs to be, but he's in that group of Patrick Mahomes.
No, man, stop, man. You're smoking crack, Troy.
You know what? I know you've been celebrating all weekend. You probably have some residual going on right now. I'm going to give you a break on that one, Troy.
At some point, you're going to have to pay Jalen Hurts. And at some point, you're not going to have six starting offensive linemen and three All-Pros on that offensive line.
You're not going to take away his time and space.
Fletcher Cox, Hargrave, Brandon Graham. Like, you're not going to be able to keep all of them. Then you're going to see what type of quarterback he is. What makes Patrick Mahomes is that he lost Tyreek Hill, and he's the same dude. He's just doing it a different way, right? Could you imagine Jalen Hurts losing three of his offensive linemen and then see what he is?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't even recognize that Joe Burrow was playing to the backup.
Yeah.
It didn't really matter because he's that great of a quarterback.
This is what I can't stand, Bart.
Let's not start basing people off of what their record is.
This is what we do. And this is what fans do, is you have a guy and he's doing a good job. And I remember Jeff fans doing this with Mark Sanchez. Back-to-back championship appearances and all that stuff. And this guy, and I kept saying to myself, man, he's right where he is. Just let it be. Stop trying to now raise the bar as if all of a sudden he's supposed to be so much better than what he is. And when he doesn't, what do you do? What do you do?
Right.
Then all of a sudden it's like you start ripping on him because, oh, he's not as good. Man, that's because you set that standard for him, not him.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.